Item 18, report and possible discussion on issues dealing with Williamson County Regional Well Water Line, including discussions with representatives of the following entities, stroke cities. Chisholm Trail Sud, Brushy Creek Mud, City of Round Rock, Jonas Sud, and City of Georgetown, John Huffman.
Mr. Chairman, do you want to set this up as far as the little bit of the background, or you want, or would you like to?
Go ahead.
We have been working, and as most of you know that's been here, when you go back and you, a lot of pieces come together. Number one, whenever we fixed the Williamson County Well Water Line, whenever we took the Temple Belton water and we made more water, and then we took the Elias project and we transferred the 25,000 acre feet, redistributed that. Georgetown gave those back. That allowed Round Rock to get some, and so all those things kind of came together. Not too long ago, we got a, and that has been working at kind of behind the scenes at the Steve level. It's kind of working behind the scenes at John and David Collinsworth level, talking to people about how or why shouldn't the rather than the customers owning the raw water line, why shouldn't the Brazos River Authority own it and this become a systems asset? So we have done the research. We have talked and given a pre-brief to Steve, and now then John's going to tell you what we've learned out of that. And this is technically, intellectually, and politically charged. John.
Yes. Phil did a good job of kind of setting up where we are in time right now. And this is going to be a lot of history that's fairly complicated, and we're going to throw it at you pretty quick. There's a written summary in your books that that does a pretty good job of giving you a snapshot. But without further ado, I'll go ahead and go on. Next slide, please. This story begins back in the late 80s when several of the Williamson County entities began to look at the possibility of creating a pipeline to get water from Lake Stellhouse Hollow to Lake Georgetown. At the time, Lake Georgetown was considered fully committed and equally split between the cities of Round Rock and Georgetown, and there wasn't any additional water in place for the other Williamson County entities to have access to, and we were not taking advantage of our system order at the time that would allow us to overdraft Lake Georgetown. Eventually, Round Rock, Georgetown, and Jonah Special Utility District agreed with the Brazos River Authority to pursue a pipeline to flow that water from Stillhouse to Lake Georgetown. BRA pursued the deal and ramped up through design, and as we did that, two other entities joined the fray in the form of Brushy Creek Municipal Utility District and Chisholm Trail Special Utility District. And that rounds out the five customers that we ended up doing the pipeline with. Brushy and Chisholm paid the original three parties an equity payment according to the contract to join the project. Chisholm later bought another increment of water and again made an equity payment. During the technical analysis to determine the critical parameters for the pipeline, a question was posed as to how exactly big should the pipeline be. And it was determined at that time by HDR Engineering that the appropriate size for the line would be a 42-inch line to flow the amount of water that we were talking about. But they further did an analysis to show that if you increase the size of the line to a 48-inch line, it would cost you just over $3 million in increased capital costs, but that in some point in time in the future, it would offer some operational efficiencies that conceivably would pay for that nominal upfront increase in costs. And the parties chose to go ahead and build the 48-inch line. As we know from our many discussions about the raw water line litigation, the installation of the line got botched. And we ended up having to go in and basically rebuild most of the pipeline. Our costs to ensure that our customers were protected ran around $3.5 million, which at that time y'all stepped forward and decided not to bill back to the customers, though our contracts would have allowed us to do so. The thought being that it was the right thing for us to do at the time. In the end, our customers got their project completed properly, just in time for us to be operational for this drought in the last year in which we flowed 10,000 acre feet of water through that line. Next slide, please. 4 years ago, Round Rock needed more water, pure and simple. The regional water plan had identified an unmet need for the city of Round Rock, and they asked us at that time to put together a proposal for them to get more water through maximizing the use of the Williamson County Raw Water Line. At that stage, we were fully embracing our system operations concept, so we began to look at the effects of including Lake Belton in with Lake Stillhouse and Lake Georgetown in a single water supply system. And what became the Bell House strategy was born from those discussions. We had Friess and Nichols do an analysis of the pipeline, and they confirmed that the pipeline would allow for this Bell House strategy to provide an additional 20,000 acre-feet of water to address water needs identified in the regional water plan. And we briefed y'all about this, and you may remember that was the foot stomp slides that we showed you. We had the big foot stomp up there and said, okay, if we do this, at some point in time in the future, in roughly the 2030 time frame, we're either going to have to build a pipeline between Stillhouse and Belton, or we're going to have to bring some other water in. We offered this water to Round Rock first because they had requested that we put the proposal together. HDR Engineering did an analysis for them that compared their supply options and suggested that when they weighed all of those options out, that Round Rock ought to look to the Colorado River and use Alliance Water to meet their future water needs. Based on that analysis, the city of Round Rock said they were not interested in more water from the Brazos Basin. So then we offered that water to other entities in Bell and Williamson counties and received a great deal of interest, as you can imagine, in that water. At roughly the same time, Georgetown and Round Rock had entered into discussions about the Alliance Water, and what transpired after that was a big swap, if you will. Georgetown gave back its Alliance Water that it had previously contracted for from the LCRA. Chisholm Trail also gave back its Alliance Water, and each of them bought this Bell House Water. Round Rock bought all of the remaining Alliance water that was in place before Georgetown and Chisholm gave their water back, and then bought all of Georgetown's water, Alliance water. So there was a series of dominoes, if you will, that fell where Round Rock and Georgetown did a swap and Chisholm gave water, Alliance water back now that they had access to water out of the Brazos River system. Next slide. Now, in buying more water, Georgetown and Chisholm Trail needed to have more pipeline capacity. And remember, Friess and Nichols had said there's at least another 20,000 acre feet of capacity in the line that we could flow water to these customers in. So when we sold them that water, they also bought an additional allocation of pipeline capacity. And when they did that, we had to recalculate the debt allocation and the debt payments that flowed out of that. And as you can see, Georgetown and Chisholm's payments went up, while the three parties who did not purchase additional water, their payments went down. And this is an abbreviation, this chart here. This represents 20 years of debt payments that are revised to reflect that most recent allocation of pipeline capacity. And when you take a look at it, what you can see over there is in the Round Rock column, Round Rock beginning in this first year, due to the reallocated debt, saved over $200,000. And over the course of the current debt as it's in place right now, would save just over $6.3 million over the life of the financing. Next slide. Now, while doing these transactions, we were working the different calculations to determine what the equity payments for Georgetown and Chisholm Trail would be. We had billed Chisholm, and we're in the process of billing Georgetown when Georgetown came to us and they posed a very interesting question. They asked about an interpretation of this agreement. And if you remember, this agreement is one of those old BRA agreements that is very convoluted and confusing and not clearly worded and difficult to follow. So the question was this. It looks to us, BRA, like the provisions that you charge folks equity payments for to get more pipeline capacity only applies to new people that join into this project, and that people that have been a part of this project for some time don't have to make these payments. Would you agree? Our attorneys looked at that language and confirmed that it could be read that way. We referred it on to our bond attorneys, who also reviewed that language and determined that it could be read credibly in that way. So we communicated that to the other pipeline participants, and you can imagine that they did not receive that news very warmly. Chisholm Trail took a look at it and said, well, first and foremost, guys, we don't agree with that interpretation, but if that's a good interpretation of the language, we too became a participant of the pipeline when we made our previous equity payments and joined the line, so we shouldn't have to make an equity payment this time either. We'd like to have our money back. And when you looked at it in that light, there was a credible reading of the agreement that would say you would do that, and so we refunded their money back. Next slide. All of the customers got together pretty much and decided that this was unfair. Regardless of what the agreement actually says, or could be read to say, and that they should in fact be paid something by someone, preferably now. It was a difficult budget meeting, to say the least. They sent a letter stating that they did not agree with the interpretation of the contract, and further that they wished to go to arbitration, which under the terms of the pipeline agreement, the only way to formally settle a dispute is to go to arbitration. However, once we got everybody together in the room and everybody got to talking about the consequences of arbitration, everyone decided that they would much prefer to try to work this out before going to arbitration, given the nature of arbitration as far as it will bind all of us to some type of an approach to fixing this. So in the intermediate period of time, Roundrock and Georgetown had begun to have some talks, and they put forth the idea that if the Brazos River Authority would step up and take the raw water line and purchase it and make it a system asset, that all of these problems associated with the agreement would go away. And they did some analysis on this and projected a $13 to $14 per acre foot increase in the system rate, which they said they were comfortable with, because according to their financial analysis, even with that additional $13, $14 per acre foot of water that they had under contract, they still save money because the system would be bearing the brunt of the cost. Round Rock went a step further and said that based on the determination by the Brazos River Authority that they would not be getting the anticipated equity payments, that they had gone back and taken a look at the deal that has transpired over the years, and it looked to them like the Brazos River Authority had sold what they called the efficiency capacity of the pipeline that was created when they went from a 42-inch line to a 48-inch line. That additional increment of pipeline capacity represented a donut, if you will, of efficiency capacity that we had sold into and de facto increased their costs such that we had violated a provision of the contract that says you can't take increase the O&M costs without going to the customers. And as you can imagine, that kind of rocked us back on our heels a little bit and said, wait a minute, I don't have the slightest idea what you're talking about. Let's go back and take a look at the provisions in the contract. Now, HDR had done an analysis way back when that showed that in some point in time in the future, that energy efficiency capacity would yield a benefit to the customers of about $400,000 a year in energy savings over time. And that's the disputed number that Round Rock threw out there that supposedly the Brazos River Authority had contracted away without their authorization. They asked to be paid for the capacity that they lost, or to be compensated for the increased costs, or to take the Williamson County Raw Water Line and make it a system asset, which they determine means the BRA system buys the pipeline from them, pays all future debt and O&M costs, and they are charged only the system rate for water in the future. Another thing that they threw on the table there at the last, I guess it was last week, was that we could just give Round Rock back its capacity in the pipeline and then build a parallel pipeline to get the water that we had contracted to Georgetown and to Chisholm Trail. Now, our analysis of the energy requirements of the pipeline show that the energy basically follows a curve. Energy consumption follows a curve. The more water you put in the line, the more energy it takes to flow an acre foot of water. This is true for the second acre foot of water that you put in the line as it is for the 42nd thousandth acre foot you put in the line or the 62nd thousandth acre foot you put in the line. Your cost, your energy consumption will gradually go up with every additional acre foot you put in the line. Slide 7, please. The original specs for the line were around 41,000 acre feet to go through it. Bell House commits us to flowing 62,000 acre feet a year through it, which is closer to the maximum the pipeline could flow as designed and installed. Now, this graph shows a projection of what needs to flow through the line over time to meet the projected needs of our pipeline customers. And you'll notice that we don't cross the line, which is this first line down here, that represents the 41,000 acre foot capacity until sometime around 2025. So under the projections that we have in place now, it wouldn't be until 2025 that we would even conceivably cross whatever this imaginary boundary line is that that we've been asked about. You'll also notice that we don't cross the line up here at the top that represents the 61,000 acre feet we're now committed to until after the 2060 planning horizon. So all of these effects are taking place sometime way out into the future. So if you want to make an argument that O&M costs have increased, it's a very difficult argument to make because the O&M costs haven't really occurred yet. We haven't even gotten up to the 41,000 acre foot of capacity that went into the initial projections for the line. Let's go to slide 8, please. We also have to remember that when we're talking about increased monthly costs, the agreement itself references more than just O&M costs when it talks about monthly costs. It also talks about debt service payments. And if you remember that chart I just showed you a little while ago, when you get to looking at the debt service payments, three of those customers start saving money right off the bat. And they save money every year going forward until this thing is paid off. So when you look at that, coupled with the fact that the O&M issue doesn't occur till sometime way out in the future, there's a real question as to whether or not those lines are ever going to cross. Because you got folks saving money right now, saving money every year right now up through the end of the debt, and whatever these O&M payment effects are may happen at some point in time out the future, but I don't know when the negative effect occurs, if ever. The big picture view of things is just that these most of the participants are saving money as a consequence of the increase in water sales, and there's a real question as to whether or not there's ever going to be an overall negative effect, at least to the three parties who didn't add capacity, and to the two that added water and capacity, they have felt the benefit of having that additional water under contract for their planning needs. So what about making an all-water line a system asset? We have said over the years, particularly since the BRA has gotten so engaged on the front on using the system as a concept, that if we had this project to do over again, it would have been a system asset. The fact is that we did not think in those terms 15 years ago. We did not approach our project in those terms 15 years ago. And if we're looking to make a system asset now, we have to come to terms with the fact that doing it this many years after the fact is going to be very problematic. The horse has been out of the barn for some time, the deals have been done, and these contracts, whether you like them or not, have been in place for a long time. So you're going to have to look very closely, if you were going to go down this road very far, at the current deal. And as it's currently financed, our assessment of the numbers would show an increase to our system rate roughly in the $11 to $13 per acre foot range. This would probably preclude us from doing much more as far as big projects are concerned that we would use the system to finance. To mitigate that, we would have to look at the deal with a fresh set of eyes and get very creative to get that impact per acre foot to the system rate down considerably. I think probably looking at the positives of this, the pros of doing this, the most valuable thing to BRA would probably come from redoing these old contracts and hopefully replacing them with something that would be a lot better and more clearly worded. But even then, our difficulty is going to be that we're going to have customers who are not involved in this transaction that would take a look at it and want to know why we're going to do this now so many years after the contracts have been in place and actually the pipeline has been in operation. Although I have to tell you that I do believe that if we were going to put this project together today cold, we would offer at least one option from the Brazos River Authority that would envision us operating this as a system asset. All of these points would have to be considered in putting together any kind of a proposal to make it a system asset. And if we were going to go down that road, we'd have to check every one of those boxes. Let's go to the next slide, please. We did not post this for any kind of decision today, because the main thing we needed to do was to get together and discuss this issue with you, get you briefed up and caught up. Initially, the City of Round Rock had asked to come in and brief you today. Due to some scheduling conflicts, they asked to come in and talk to you in January instead. They have asked that we assert these issues that I've outlined for you today to y'all, and I would anticipate that they will come forward in January and probably give you the same list of items that they would like to see us take a look at, along with the same list of concerns about what we have done. This issue is important because it represents an ongoing dispute, as Phil had mentioned to you, and that arbitration request letter is still out there. It has not been pulled down. So the issue is not going away. So at this stage of the game, Mr. Chairman, we'd be interested in answering any questions that you might have or hearing any observations or opinions that y'all might wish to express.
Anything?
And I apologize again. It's a lot of information in a short period of time, but this is...
If we own the pipeline, do we get to charge a transportation fee?
I don't think as it was pitched to us that was a part of the deal, but I can almost guarantee you that to get the $11 to $13 increase to the system rate down, you would have to charge something for that, yes.
Well, that's not a system. I'm saying specifically for the people that are benefiting from the pipeline.
Absolutely. That's one of the options you could put on the table is charging some type of
fee. If they own the pipeline, they're paying the O&M for it, right?
That's
right.
Which
is what we thought we had.
That's right. You could put together a number of scenarios that would recover some of the costs associated with that, whether you charge a fee that basically compenses us for the O&M costs. You could even include part of the capital costs in there, like you would paying mileage to somebody for use of an automobile.
Sure. Where does that leave us in terms of that water that we're subsidizing or have been subsidizing? Are we still doing that?
Very good question. We are still subsidizing the initial water that was offered up when the Brazos River Authority was not able to answer the water supply call. The last increment of water, though, that Round Rock took, that was Georgetown's water and then the uncommitted Alliance water, we are not underwriting the cost of that because we offered them a viable option from the Brazos Basin and they chose not to take it. So they are paying the full freight for that increment of water.
So we're not subsidizing any water?
We're subsidizing the first increment of water that Round Rock contracted for when that Alliance water was initially offered. All of the stuff that came up initially was done because the Brazos could not supply all of their needs. And because of that, the BRA stepped up and chose to underwrote those costs.
Is there a position where we can't supply all of it?
No, sir. Now that we've contracted if they came to us and wanted 10,000 more acre feet, we couldn't do it with what we're set up with right now. But they deferred on what was offered to them, and because they deferred on that and chose to bypass a viable option from the Brazos, we no longer underwrite the cost for that additional increment of Alliance water that they purchased.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
I think that is probably a finer reduction, if you will, of the material and the data that we can offer today. We'll be hearing more about this, but I'm anxious to find out what Round Rock will have to offer the board, you know, in their position. I don't anticipate Georgetown being here, but they might. I don't anticipate some of these other folks, but I'm sure we'll hear from Round Rock.
Round Rock is very critical of the BRA and the way, and just from the old contracts to the line breaking to the whole thing, they just don't like us. So that's part of the motivation for it.
I'm concerned in that if they come here, they're intimately aware on a day-to-day basis of what they want to discuss and what have you. I as a board member am not prepared to discuss or negotiate in terms of what they're going to propose and have any sort of knowledgeable feedback to provide them. Is it just a hearing of the issues, or
It was, they were trying to, they was going to say, if you don't, we're going to tell your daddy on you, the board, if you don't do what we want you to do. It was a threat.
In case you haven't told us.
Yeah.
Well, their argument is relatively straightforward argument, Director. It's they were counting on receiving equity payment, and they were willing, and they're, this is what they will say to you. They knew of some of these issues, such as the lost energy efficiency and that sort of stuff, but they chose not to assert it because it was the best for everybody, and they would receive an equity payment. And when the equity payment didn't come through because of Georgetown's question, they began to take a hard look at what was going on and determined that they had been unfairly negatively affected, and kind of they'll go into the system asset question like this. We buy most of your system water. The Williamson County interests pay most of the freight on the system water. There's a bigger chunk of system demand in Williamson County than there is anywhere else. If we're not a system project, what is? And kind of the underlying threat there is, go ahead, if you turn us down, fine, but just go ahead and try to come in and bring in a system project somewhere else and let's have a discussion about it.
John, a bit before my time, is the Bell House still built? Belton Lake, Still Hollow Pipeline, a done deal?
No, sir. At this stage of the game, it's the first option to make sure that all of that water is backed up in contract. The water between Bell County and Williamson County that was sold in those subsequent contracts, if you had no other option on the table, that would be what you would do. Water Resources is looking somewhere in the 2025 timeline. We'll have to make a decision on whether we build that conveyance or bring in groundwater or do something else to make sure that the contracts are fully covered in the event that they're called on.
Well, I've seen it in the long range projections. I just wanted to know if the agreement had been struck some way or another connecting Belton Lake the Still House. They're building us anyway down there right now for our live.
Right, right.
And they're pulling water out of Belton Lake.
Yeah, it's a PIW. Ironically, we're starting to get Bell County interests who have Lake Belton water that would like to divert from Stillhouse. That would like to move, and the only way to do that and fully satisfy those contracts is to build the pipeline between Belton and Stillhouse.
Well, I see that pipeline in our documents and our planning documents. My question was, is that a planning projection type of thing?
The numbers are as good as they can be, and we do have a PIW on the Bell House pipeline.
Okay.
Any other questions for John? John, thank you very much.